I'm sorry, that one's tough for me to sing. Barbara and I sang it at our wedding, standing side by side. Then we sang it at my grandfather's funeral. And then we sang it at my son's funeral. And it all comes back. But so does God. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Holy Gospel, especially this language of the Lord Jesus, where Jesus says to the young man at the village of Nain, "Young man, I say to you, arise. In the name of Christ Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life," my Christian friends. I want to begin the message this morning with an apology to all of you who are Chicago Cubs fans and Kansas City Royals fans, but I need to tell a story about the St. Louis Cardinals. Because about 20 years ago, Barbara and I moved to St. Louis, where I was going to go to graduate school. Now, I had never really been that involved or interested in professional baseball. But you can't live in St. Louis but that you become caught up in baseball, especially when Mark McGwire was making his home run in for the record in that year. So we spent 5 years in St. Louis. We spent 4 years there going to school and a year trying to find a place to park. And I spent a lot of time driving through St. Louis traffic, and I would turn to the radio and automatically would turn to the broadcast of the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's where I got caught up in Cardinals baseball, as I listened to the voices of Joe Buck and Mike Shanahan, because they were the voices of the St. Louis Cardinals in those days. And there is a distinct memory I have of at least 3 or 4 times sitting in St. Louis traffic listening to a game, and Mike Shanahan would be coming on, and all of a sudden one of the Cardinal batters would get a hold of one. And Shanahan's voice would say, "It's a long fly ball. Come on, baby, get up. Get up! Home run, St. Louis!" I have a question for you. You think that baseball actually heard Mike Shanahan's voice? I don't think so. And yet we understand it when we go to a basketball game, watching our grandkids play, and they make a try for a shot. It's almost like we're sitting there willing the ball into the hoop. Or when our grandchild is playing in their piano recital or on stage and they forget a line or their fingers are sticking, and it's almost like we're willing it to happen, and then it happens. We feel this sense of relief. And it's almost this fairy tale we tell ourselves that somehow are we've willed it to happen. Or that Mike Shanahan talked that ball into crossing the fence. Which brings us to the story of the young man of Nain. Jesus is, this is only in St. Luke's Gospel. There are stories like this in Matthew, Mark, and John. In John's Gospel, it's the powerful story of the resurrection of Lazarus. In Matthew and Mark, it's the story of the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Each of them brings their nuance to this because Jesus in his ministry does 4 kinds of miracles. He does healings of the deaf, the blind, the lame, yes. He does nature miracles, the miraculous catch of fish, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, the cursing of the fig tree, all of those kinds of things. He does exorcisms where he drives out the control of the demonic spirits that just consume people's lives. And then he does resurrections of the dead. And he comes into this small village with his whole entourage who've been following him, trying to figure out who he is. And as he enters this village, and it's the only time in the Bible it's talked about, here comes a funeral procession. a large one. Apparently, this was not expected. And everybody is mourning with the loss of this young man, who is the only son of his mother, and she has no husband. You must understand the culture of the day. All of a sudden, she is bereft, not just emotionally, legally. She cannot own property. No legal protection was given to women in that culture. Just respect and honor, and somehow the family was supposed to do it all. And don't miss what the text says. And Jesus had compassion. Dr. Martin Franzmann points out in his notes on this text that this word is reserved to God, except with one exception, and it's also in the Gospel of Luke. It's the Good Samaritan. The heart of God goes out to this woman, and he wraps her in his love, and he stops the whole process. And then he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Get up, baby. Get up. Now the question comes. Do you think that young man heard Jesus? How could he? He was dead. And yet he must have. Because what happened? He got up and he began talking. Everybody's overwhelmed and shocked. I'm not surprised, are you? The same thing happens only months later, when on Easter morning, the women go with the expected understanding that once you bury somebody, they're buried, and you just adjust to it and adapt to it. And they get to the tomb, and somebody has rolled the stone away, and the guards are gone. And they are confused and unsettled. And then an angel comes and says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He is risen, just as he promised." St. Mark's Gospel said, "They are so shattered and unnerved by that which is unexpected that they go away in terror, because their whole world has been upended." Do you folks realize how much the expectation of death governs our living in all ways? We hate it, we detest it, we do everything to avoid it, we are justly afraid of it because we've never done it before, any of us, and because we feel so all alone when it happens. Not only those who died, but those who are left. And in the middle of it comes the God of nature and history and says, "Young man, get up." He did the same thing in Bethany. "Lazarus, come out." One time that whole story was being discussed by Christians and atheists. Some atheist, in a smart aleck kind of way, said, "Why did Jesus have to call Lazarus by name?" And a wise old pastor said, "Because if he hadn't, the whole graveyard would have gotten up." And that wasn't a joke. That's why you laughed. Because it's the laughter of faith and joy and confidence and hope. Because it's what we yearn for. That's why you came here this morning. You came here this morning to hear that word again. Get up. You didn't come here because you had this all figured out. You didn't come here because you feel great about everything that's going on. In fact, as I stood at the door and asked you, some of you were saying, I'm hurting today. This thing physically, emotionally, this thing I'm not sure I even want to talk about. I have come into here because I'm just feeling dead on the inside. One came and said, can we come to communion? I said, when do you want? And we desire the gift of the body and blood of Christ. Well, the conversation could have gone on. Why? Because we're dead inside. And we want hope. And we want faith. We want an answer in the middle of all the questions. We didn't come here this morning because we know it all. And we sure didn't come here this morning because somehow we have conquered sin in our lives. It still vexes us. We came to hear a creative, powerful word that reaches us in our deadness and says, get up. We didn't come here because that word is believable in some intellectual way, because you can't describe it. It's shocking and it's amazing. And yet somehow it goes beyond and past all emotion, all reason, all intuition. It goes everything. And it creates a logic of its own and a power of its own, because it's spoken by the Lord, who in an instant said, let there be light. And there was light. Who said, young man, get up. And he did. It was spoken by the one who stood in the boat and said to the terror of the wind and the waves, peace, be still. And they were. That's why we came here. I have gotten to a point where I don't understand that. And I've studied a lot. And I've read all the theologians and their nice definitions, and I get it, and I know it, and I am sick to death of the people who try to package it and encapsulate it, because somehow it goes way beyond that. Somehow I wonder if in humility and in faith, we still know the voice of the one who, when he was here below, said to the wind and waves, be quiet. Who said to the dead, get up. Get up, young man. You see, it is a bigger and deeper reality that we walk with. Because you and I are the living dead. The scriptures tell us clearly that we have by nature three spiritual problems. We are blind to God. We cannot figure him out with our own reason and understanding. We are enemies of God by nature, and that's still with us. Even though we are Christians by grace, there are corners of our hearts that still want to play God in our lives, and sometimes we want to do it by our neat explanations and our ability to describe it and guarantee that we've got it figured out. And thirdly, the scripture says we are dead toward God. We really don't want to hear that we need to be raised all the time, but we do. Because somehow we're being carried out of here. And we all know someday we will be. We're scared to death of it. Do you realize how terrifying this whole process is? We went through it this week, and I have permission to talk about this because I asked. We buried Lorna Whaling this week. The Lord has taken her to himself. And after the funeral, or before the funeral, I was there talking to her sister, Rowan. And Rowan said, I don't wish her back, and yet I do. Not when she had to go through what she was going through. You knew that. You all carried it with her. You watched it happen to her. You watched it happen to your friends and loved ones. And yet you know and I know you're going to miss a friend, and Rowan's going to miss a sister, and you miss your loved ones. And here comes Jesus into Nain, and here is this young man being carried out, and he says, get up, young man. You ever think how almost cruel that is? because he died again. You ever think how most cruel it is for Jesus to say in John 11, Lazarus, come forth? If he's already there enjoying the bliss of heaven, do you want to come back? And he's died again. He comes back just to go through it again. It should give us pause for a couple of things. To recognize that we live with a Savior who not only has the power and authority to say this kind of thing, but who enters into death itself with us, fully experiencing it just like we do. And then the bursting joy of Easter comes. And what that is a piece of the end of time that the Lord has stuck right into the middle of time, because the dead are raised on the last day, but Christ has already been raised, which means, you know what? The last day has already started. It's just not over yet. And we live in that hope. But hope that is seen is not still called hope. You and I still face the deadness of living, our limited vision, our fears, our pride, our anxiety, our rebellions, our discouragements, our sadnesses, our griefs, our irritations. That's why you and I came here this morning. To hear the voice of the Savior that rules the heavens and the earth, who entered into life and death with us, to say to your hearts and to mine, get up. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.